Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
If you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com,
email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil hat.
Hey man,
where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
And welcome to another Tin Foil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. Super excited for a lot of things going on in the podcast. There's something we're about to drop. That we're very excited about, but we'll get into that on another episode. Guys, check out the new t-shirt designs. They are killing it. We have more t-shirts than ever. Go to allcomedytshirts.com. Check out Tinfoil Hat. And give us those five-star reviews, homeboy. Helps the show. Give us those five stars. You can give us five stars and talk about how you love Ryan and you hate Sam. I'm fine with that. Just as long as it's five stars. Just light it up. That's all that matters. Ryan, how are you?
Real good. I got a little present for you, Sam.
Oh, presents time.
So we get a lot of hate for not having coffee mugs. So I got myself a coffee mug here that says, "Let that shit go."
Ooh, I like that.
So it's pretty good. And as you can see, yours, there's a t-shirt in there.
Code of the streets.
And the back says, "Snitches get stitches."
Oh, why did I get this?
Yep. And then...
Am I snitching?
You can go ahead and tell everyone what your mug says.
See, fresh out of the fucks. I love it. Fresh out of fucks. I love it.
We're official, guys.
Aren't we all?
I'm sorry. No, it's all good. Joining us, I'm very excited to call them my friends. They're two amazing people. They're doing great work. I always say that, like, Tinfoil Hat is the... training wheels. Mm-hmm. We are the beginning of your journey into the realm of conspiracy. But these two guys go deep. They go really deep into it. If you really want real research, real guests, real all that stuff, that I think Conspiracy Farm is the podcast to go to. They're one of our favorite people. Please welcome from Conspiracy Farm, Pat Miletich and my man, Jeffrey Wilson. How are you guys? You're my man too, Pat. We always go through this.
Thank you for those kind words, Sam.
Absolutely. It's
very Caucasian of you.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a very interesting time to be here. A lot of great things going on with Conspiracy Farm. Can you guys tell us a little bit about it, a little bit more for those who might not know your past appearance with us and what's going on with your podcast?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had obviously a myriad of guests on. We've had yourself recently. We had on Craig Sawman Sawyer, Veterans for Child Rescue, blowing the lid off of, you know, kind of a little bit what we're going to talk about today.
Dave Zady, former assistant director of counterespionage for the FBI, also high-level CIA. Sonny Puzikas, former Spetsnaz, Russian Special Forces.
Just had on Les Stroud the other day, Survivor Man, Les Stroud. We didn't have as much time as we wanted to have with him, but we got a great conversation with him. Eva Bartlett was our last episode, had some very interesting technical difficulties, which were unprecedented, quite frankly, with Eva Bartlett, Canadian investigative researcher who's been in Syria these last several years, just blowing the horn on all the horse shit. All the fake chemical attacks, what's really going on, the white helmets being completely manufactured.
Is she the brunette
ISIS
lady?
Funded by the West.
Is she the brunette lady that you always see in those videos calling That's, out.
You might be thinking that Diliana Gutenshiva, who's the Bulgarian reporter who lost her job for basically exposing who was really funding and delivering the weapons to ISIS.
Well, so you guys do. You guys are definitely into the geopolitical view, which I really love. And so if you guys love our podcast, you guys should 100% check out their podcast. I think it's wonderful. And we're really enjoying their work. Now, do you guys got – where can we get T-shirts and all that stuff for you guys? Our fans could check it out or
– Yeah, I mean, we have a Facebook link that – or not Facebook, like a PayPal link that's set up in pretty much all of our videos on iTunes, YouTube, et cetera. Just click on that bad boy. It's a little different than the normal marketplace thing. Just donate – or just the $25 of what a T-shirt costs. Specify what type you want. This is the G.I. Joe type font here. We have other ones. If you want to go check out our Facebook page, The Conspiracy Farm, you can see your options and just specify that in the description of size, color, the font, and shipping address.
Yeah, it's like we're one big family. When we showed up at Cobb's, the very first guy in line. And And he was wearing, there he was, the Conspiracy Farm shirt. And I was like,
wow. That was awesome. Yeah. I did not know that gentleman. That was not something we prompted. But for Sam, that was cool for you to send that picture. But
yeah,
just
awesome.
Lets us know, man. We have love, man. We are in over 100 countries. And it's I'm truly humbled just by the messages we get from literally all over. It's crazy, from Australia to Africa to California, Chicago. I mean, it's insane, but I mean,
it's growing. Growing, at least. We're happy that people are starting to understand where the real news is coming from.
100%. And it was very interesting about that guy. He didn't want me to take his picture. And I go, well, I'm going to send it to Pat and Jeffrey. No, he's like, oh, okay. Then I'll take a picture, which is more the shadiness of our listeners, who we love with all of our hearts. Everybody on this panel has been called a shill, a compromise, all this stuff. How do you guys take it? Because it's almost like it can almost get overwhelming with the amount of like, how, like, in our world of conspiracies, if you don't 100% agree with someone's point of view on conspiracies, they automatically call you a shill. And I don't know how you guys handle that or what kind of weirdness you've been called. Is there anything that stands out that's kind of interesting in the feedback you get?
Oh, well, I mean, we certainly deal with our share of people calling us crazy and this and that, you know, and I pointed out on Twitter, you know, we've reached that point in society in the novel of 1984, Orwell's beautiful work, where those who speak the truth are you know, ridiculed as being mentally unstable. And, you know, we have to remember that we are in pursuit of the truth. We will not have cognitive dissonance. We will shake that off. We will, you know, see through the clouds. We'll see through all the bullshit and find the truth one way or another. No matter what it costs us, you know, in terms of, look, if people don't want to be my friend because they don't want to face the ugly truth, I'm okay with that, because eventually the truth is going to come out and they're going to come running back and the door is going to be closed.
Exactly. Three things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth.
I couldn't agree with you more. But, you know, as Jeffrey and I were talking the other day, because, you know, once in a while we'll talk on the phone and do a little kind of catch up on how our lives are all going, and we were kind of talking about like the misinformation that is going on out there, that there is this 100% movement by whether it's the deep state or whoever is flooding the internet with a lot of information that isn't done, and it's done very well. I don't know if you guys saw the picture that was supposed to be Podesta, John Podesta, and Valerie Jarrett, and everybody was like, oh, this is them at a Pizzagate party, and then it turned out it wasn't them, and I made the mistake of putting that on Facebook, and I got a lot of shit for it, and I got some people that I care about a lot, a little, not upset, but a little worried. So how do you guys handle that, and what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, there is kind of, even in, as we've talked about before, Sam, we've talked about on the show, there has been a level of infiltration to what we call the alternative media, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, we could point out names. But Sam, you know, per what you said, I kind of fall into that trap sometimes. We had a gal on not too long ago, Jenny Moonstone, who supposedly, you know, alleged victim of MK Ultra and all this stuff. But she said a phrase that really stuck with me. She's like, we're all MK Ultra in some way, whether it's your March Madness brackets, you're a JFK freak, you're a 9/11 freak, whatever it is. Like, we all have our kind of biases we are trying to defend. But, you know, it's like you say all the time, Sam, we are living in very, very interesting times. You know, up is down, down is up.
It's interesting.
Look, here's the thing is, when we see everything, everyone being exposed for crimes, crimes against children, crimes against women, crimes of all types right now, it's that darkness to light phase, which I've said several times. You know, the apocalypse is not the end of the world. The apocalypsis, the root word from the Greek word apocalypsis, is dark to light, shining light on darkness, and it's all coming out. I think that's the basic phase we're in right now. And look, the thing about it is I think everybody has to sit back and say, none of us are without sin. We've all done things wrong in our lives, and it's all, in my mind, going to come out. It's all coming out for everybody, and it is what it is, man. I think it's going to make a lot of people turn to good, or it's going to make a lot of people scurry like rats off the ship, man. And it's as Jeff said, a very interesting time. People are terrified. You can tell, you know, when a Robert De Niro comes on network TV and screams "F you, Trump," twice in a row, and the psycho stars jump up and clap. You could see people in the crowd who didn't get up, who were like had their hands over their mouths, going, "Oh my God, this is pure insanity." And it is the times we're living in. It's putting a lot of pressure on a lot of people, and people are dropping like flies because of it. And we talked about that months ago, that as this stuff all started to unfold, there was going to be people getting their necks stretched by ropes and bullets in the head and all kinds of stuff. And it has been happening.
For sure. You know, when I posted that Valerie Jack thing, I you know, just because I've been told to explain it better, so I feel like I should right now. It was basically a discussion of that, yes, what Roseanne did violates human 101. We've been told over time, you know, as we should all know, you don't compare black people to apes. That is wrong. It's wrong. It's old school race. It's wrong. But when I go, when we start applying these rules to these war criminals who, and I consider Valerie Jack right up there with people like Dick Cheney and all those people, where like she's a slumlord in Chicago and she's part of a group that made a decision to illegally assassinate Muammar Gaddafi, which has led to open slave trades in Libya. There are Africans being sold by Africans, and that to me breaks my heart. It breaks my. I want to cry, and I'm not even kidding when I say that. I want to cry. That it's 2018, and this is still happening. You know,
right.
And we all.
Go on. Touched on is kind of like political correctness of speech, and I talked to you about this, Sam. If Roseanne Barr said what she said on stage, the ramifications, I think, would have been completely different. I think, like the great Patrice O'Neill, God rest his soul, we are losing context in our conversations. And I'm telling you, you know, what you're saying is absolutely correct. For a person of you know, Caucasian descent or whatever to say something resembling black people to apes is you know, or monkeys or whatever, it's frowned upon. But if you hang out with black people enough, you hear the same thing with your old monkey ass. Where's Ralph at with his old monkey ass? Like, it happens, but we've lost context as it relates to this. And we're just so quick and so visceral in our tribe. When somebody supposedly says something against our tribe, we don't even necessarily think. And that's kind of where we are. We've lost context as far as political correctness. The political police are ruining careers just because someone says something that somebody doesn't like. I mean, we got to grow up a little bit, man. And if we start pumping the brakes a bit and start looking at this stuff in context, we hear so much worse from you guys, stand-up comedians. And we don't say a freaking word about it because you're at the Comedy Store. You're in whatever theater.
It's interesting take on it, and I feel like we're having feedback here, but and that's the whole thing. Like, people have compared me to, they go, you're going to be compared to Owen Benjamin, and Owen Benjamin is on his own. And I'm not here to pile on that guy. I've known Owen Benjamin for a long time. I am not Owen Benjamin. Owen Benjamin's doing his own thing. And I'm not going to defend Owen Benjamin because he's a grown-ass man. And he's chosen a path which I do not follow. And
I'm not sure who that is.
Who's Owen Benjamin?
He's a gentleman. He's a comic friend of mine from a long time. He's really taken to fighting political correctness, but he's taken it to this super far out length where, you know, he's using the N word to be like, why can't I say this? And that's not really what I'm about. I find that we get into this world of where we have to defend the worst stuff in order to be able to do just the little stuff. And that's not really what I want. What I'm looking for is just the ability to have a real conversation on stage about different people. If you tell me to celebrate diversity, that also means I can laugh at diversity as well.
Absolutely. And again, the context is lost. And, you know, it's a level of kind of selective butthurtness that we see. Granted, what Roseanne said, you know, we can have a conversation whether it's good or bad. But we have individuals in this country at the highest level fucking eating children, drinking their blood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We cannot lose the... That's how we get... So as we talk about it all the time, most people do not grasp the depth of the evil. So it's easier to talk about what Roseanne said or all these kind of political footballs when we kick around, when in fact, fucking evil roams this countryside unimpugned and is absolutely no accountability. And half the people who are bitching about Trump voted for the bitch who's doing it.
Yeah, right. I completely agree with that. Now, which brings us, is there accountability? And I think we're starting to see it. And what we want to talk today, Eddie Bravo was supposed to come on, but there was a miscommunication. So I'm happy that we decided to do the episode anyways. And the big episode, and I don't know if it was you guys, I think you guys sent me this. It was about the RICO Act that has now been done by, now is it by the U.S. government or is it by a group?
It was in federal court, and there's not just one, there's two. There was one that was in December by six different actresses, 12/6/17. It was filed in a New York court, federal court, and then the most recent one filed June 1st by these three actresses. I forget their names, but yeah, we have two separate ones, dude. And okay. Yeah, RICO is not everybody knows. This is the stuff that came out in the 70s because as like mafia hitmen would get pinched, they could never hit the higher guy. So they had to create this Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act, which was founded in October 15th, 1970, which allowed the federal government to go after the higher ups for operating a criminal enterprise.
So now what this is saying is that through this lawsuit, a RICO lawsuit against Weinstein, Miramax, and Disney and other people, this implicates that all of those people were complicit or part of an organized crime organization, basically exploiting humans, females, children, who knows what else.
After reading all this material, do you want to hear a fucking bombshell?
Hold on, people's names
who were in this indictment?
Yeah, hold on one second. Real quick, because I just want to get into, I want to set the stage so people know exactly what RICO is, okay? I know you gave the name. It's a Racketeering Influence and Corruption Organization Act. And basically what it is, it's commonly referred to as a RICO Act or simply RICO. It's the United States federal law that provides for extended criminal penalties and civil cause of acts performed as part of an ongoing criminal organization. The RICO Act focuses specifically on racketeering and allows leaders of these syndicates to be tried for their crimes by order others to do or assist them in doing, closing a perceived loophole that allows a person who's instructed someone else to, for example, murder, to be exempt from trial because they did not commit the crime themselves. Now, this is very important because they use this on the mob, as you stated, Jeffrey. And what this allows them to do is basically what it does, in my belief, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, if I commit a crime, right, anybody I do business with they can use in this RICO Act, which allows them to go after a wide net of people to make sure nobody covers anybody's act. So everybody's involved. If you do business with me and I'm a criminal and I'm doing this stuff, they can add you into this RICO Act to, in case you have some information they know, and they can also pull all your assets as well. Is that what you guys believe RICO is?
It's a wide casting net. It's a wide casting net, and it also assists in putting pressure on an awful lot of influential people and make them turn over on each other. That's that's when they're going to start eating each other, is when things like this start happening.
And dude, that's what I was just saying, dude. A name in this, James Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks, is in this indictment. Milwaukee Bucks owner Mark Larcy, Lassery, is in this indictment. I mean, the implications of this, dude, if this comes down as hard as they say, is going to be huge.
And this kind of, just because I don't want to jump the thing, because I'm really trying to set this whole thing, because I want to get into the who's who in 2 seconds. So this has been used in the past to take down the mob, basically the Italian mob, which I believe is kind of the gentleman's mob of the mob. They set these rules in which to be, if you take a look at how like Vegas and the music industry is, there's this old saying that it was better when the mob ran it because they had a gentleman's agreement on how to operate. You know, you treat people well, you do this, you don't take out people's families and all this stuff. And now you've seen these other mobs kind of jump up, these MS-13s and all this stuff. And they've kind of like, they don't play by any rules. So, you know, this has kind of been young. This can be applied to Trump's sex trafficking bill, the FOSTA. What do you guys know the name of what that's exactly called? Do you guys know the name?
I don't.
Where they can seize all the assets of anyone who's doing human trafficking.
Now, this was a big thing because they passed this. What we had
Justine Cross.
Cross on.
Mistress.
And I forget did they pass this bill first? And I forgot how it goes, but anyways, it was basically a big idea because everybody in the truth community was very excited because it was definitely meant to be go after sex trafficking. And I think this kind of is a part of the whole RICO thing. They basically, if you're associated with any kind of sex trafficking, they can seize all your assets.
Yep.
And that is what basically happened with the guy who owned Backpage.
It's paving the road so that they can make legal and financial. Because at the end of the day, you're never going to affect people's morals. Yeah. You're never going to stop these billionaires that want to do speakless acts. But you know what they care about? Money.
All their money.
So
their
that's money.
It. So that's how you got to do it.
So let's get into, because you brought up some great names that I didn't even know as I look at it right now. The who's who of this. Who's been RICO'd in this? First of all, the three actresses are Caitlin Dunley, Larissa Gomez, and Melissa Thompson. Now, I know of a Melissa Thompson who is she's Christina Thompson. I thought she was on Fox Sports 1. I don't know who these three girls are, but they are the plaintiffs versus this group of people. Now, is the government behind them, or are they just... Is this their lawsuit or is this the government's lawsuit?
It's in federal court. So, I mean, like, there is some government aspect to it. But, I mean, it's a New York district court. So I'm not sure the role of the federal government.
Understand this, that to pave the way for this to even happen, the Attorney General of New York had to be outed for his sexual, you know, exploits and raping of women and everything else, be removed. And then this lawsuit was able to be pushed forward. I wouldn't doubt that, you know, with his attitude and hatred for Trump and a lot of the people that were wanting to file lawsuits like this, that it was all being held up by this guy. And once he was removed, you know, that this stuff is now able to go forward in New York. And I'm sure people are panic stricken. They were panic stricken the moment that guy got removed. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
But he was doing a lot of stonewalling on the Wiener case, too. That was another. He's pretty tied into the Anthony Wiener laptop and some of that Hillary stuff.
His name is Eric Schreiderman. Is that who the guy's name that stepped down? Okay, so he stepped down. Now, he's very interesting because, again, here we go. It's a lot of talk about his connection to Anthony Weiner, which we've talked a lot about in the past, and his connection to the NXIVM cult that we did a whole episode on with the Truth Cat, and how there's this gentleman who said he basically went to a NXIVM recruit party and all these people that everybody's talking about were all there at one time. Anthony Weiner was supposedly there, and he mentioned this guy Eric Schreiderman was also at this party, and it was like a...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Think of the timing of the last 6 months. One of the, I forget her name, one of the higher-ups, not Allison Mack, but somebody else who was tied to the Clinton Foundation and funding Clinton, she gets pinched or arrested for whatever it was. I don't even think it was... It might have been sex-related. But then Allison Mack gets pinched, and then this attorney general gets pinched, and then with Weinstein. We've talked about this, whether Trump is the white hat or not, but there is clearly an operation going on as it relates to these networks. And I think, like Pat has said, they're going after the low-hanging fruit first and having them some bitches sing. Because, I mean, we're going to maybe talk about it, Bourdain, a little bit later. Like, is this all
tied? Domino effect, man.
It's all tied in. And like as Pat said, when I saw this RICO thing, Facebook page on Conspiracy Farm, I'm like, bodies will begin to hit the floor from this. This is Disney. This is Americana. This is Bill Cosby on steroids.
For sure. And the one thing you will not hear is any of this on the mainstream media. And that is a big problem that we're running into, because we talk, you know, within our group, we talk about this, and occasionally an outsider will come into the group, you know, and it's almost like what, you know, Eddie Bravo calls, you know, Tower 7 and up. You got, you know, you got to be 21 and up to get into a bar. You got to be Tower 7 and up to get into our kind of,
I love it,
our kind of conversation into this world. But occasionally someone who isn't of that level will get into this, and they'll instantly reject it because they haven't heard it from Rachel Maddow's Wolf Blitzer, Sean Hannity, and all those people. And it gets labeled conspiracy. And the thing that we've noticed, and I know you guys have mentioned this to people, is when they talk about Allison Mack, they just say sex trafficking. They don't say what is in the indictment, which is, in fact, child sex trafficking. She is not being tried for sex trafficking. She's being tried for child sex trafficking. That is real shit right there.
And that's what I'm saying. People just, you got to be a critical thinker to attempt to get in this. Like, you know, the mainstream media, I don't even fuck with it. What do you expect from a pig but a grunt? I cannot sit and listen to any of those people at any point in time and expect to really be informed. Now, are we right about everything all the time? Absolutely not. But we just are at least asking... are these asking questions that a lot of those media entities are not even close to asking?
And they're protecting each other. I mean, obviously, look, think about it. Anderson Cooper, I'm just going to say it right now. One of my good friends, who's a Harvard grad, a brilliant guy, written many books, done all kinds of cool stuff in his life, was constantly hit on by Anderson Cooper at elitist parties in Manhattan. He said it was disgusting. He was like, dude, just leave me alone, man. Wow. You know, so, you know, these people are protecting each other without a doubt.
Well, I mean, I've always known he's gay. Hold on, real quick. I've always known he's gay. I mean, everybody knows he's a gay futuristic robot. I have no problem with that.
Robot.
I have no problem with somebody being gay.
I don't care anybody's sexual preference, but yeah. Look, man, Nick's a predator, and he uses his stardom to prey on whoever he can.
But he's like old school money, like, right? Hey. He is, what's his name?
Vanderbilt.
He's a Vanderbilt. He's probably in on these... you know, these parties and stuff like that. And he's most likely...
Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, come fuck on, dude.
You know...
Yeah,
you know,
he had an intern with the CIA after college.
Yeah, he interned with the CIA. I mean, it's like, come on, man. I mean, that's some real shit. So anyways, the craziest thing, and like Jeffrey, we had talked about on our phone call, is that Allison Mack got she was able to put up bail and get out. I don't know.
So is Weinstein. Weinstein's out.
It's unbelievable to me.
I just think that those people, considering now this RICO lawsuit and all the other things that are happening, I think a lot more bodies are going to start falling. I wouldn't doubt people like Allison Mack and Weinstein committing suicide. Dude, Weinstein's going to go to prison for life if he's found guilty on this stuff. There's 80 women at least, who are filing against him, who are making claims against him. He's going to do life in prison. He's going to off himself, or someone else is going to off him. I wouldn't doubt it for a minute.
So let's look at, you brought up some of the people, and I completely agree with you. And we'll get into the connections, the stuff that's going on right now. So Jeffrey, you brought up some of the people who are in this RICO act, and they are Miramax Films, New York LC, Walt Disney Company, Walt Disney Enterprise, Harvey Weinstein, Robert Weinstein. Now, the whole theory is this, is that Robert Weinstein, his brother, is the reason he's all into this stuff. That his brother wanted him out of, allegedly, wanted him out of Merrimack. So he's the one who kind of got the ball rolling on all these accusations coming out. I mean, they were always known, like, they've shown so many times in award shows where they've alluded to what a scumbag Weinstein is, and, like, right. him laughing at it in the award show. Like, somebody's monologue, I think it was the guy who created Family
Seth
Guy.
Seth MacFarlane pretty much roasted him right in front of his face.
So here are some other people that you've said. James Dolan, Merrimax again. And who is the gentleman who owns the Bucks you were talking about?
Mark Lassery or something about L-A-S-R-E-Y.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Mark Lassery, L-A-R-S-Y. They are all in on this, dude. So,
well, because the Knicks owner, the particular Knicks owner, he's on the board of directors of the Weinstein Company. That's why that's association. But he did have a lawsuit against him as the head of the Knicks. Because something having to do with Isaiah Thomson Thomas when he was a head coach, groping scouts. So they're no strangers to these lawsuits. But yeah, it reaches to all the ranks of the world. I mean, it's just, you know, this is everywhere.
And what is your guys' thoughts that this RICO Act is actually about? What is it about?
Well, I mean, obviously, these women. I wouldn't doubt that there's some powerful federal folks, Sessions and other people. Who have green-lighted this or assisted in any of it. I would say that the attorneys who are going after Weinstein and Disney and Miramax probably have gotten some help from the feds, without a doubt. And I think, you know, when you really think of the ramifications of this, think of all of the testimony, think of all of the documents that are going to come out, think of all the text messages and emails and the exposure and the truth that is going to come out, that is going to lead to so many other people being in deep shit who have been involved in this, and you can just see the panic in Hollywood. They're like a bunch of children who got caught, you know, doing horrible things with the dog. I mean, they're losing their shit.
I couldn't agree with you more. We were talking about, like, you know, Disney has a humongous history of a lot of shady shit. I mean, from way back in the day. I mean, like, the things I've heard about Disney, I've heard that there's a movie out there of, allegedly, and I'm only saying that because the guy who told me, I 100% believe, but of Disney doing some really shady shit back in the day. We know that Mickey Mouse was created as a Nazi propaganda tool that he wanted to give to the Nazis to use as propaganda. That is, like, pretty much facts that has been wiped off from the face of the earth. I mean, he was a huge Nazi supporter. Have you guys ever heard any of that?
Well, I mean, from my understanding, and this is an odd little nugget from college, whatever, I think he originally came out in the early 30s, but no, you be right, because Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers, they all were doing Nazi basically propaganda back in the day. I mean, there was the PC police would have freaking came on themselves if they would have saw the shit that was going on with our cartoons, you know. And that's just basic conditioning, you know.
Well, and then you add to that, you know, all of the former children stars who are now adults who are going off the rails. They're crazy, you know, the drugs, the alcoholism, the, you know, suicides, all the crazy stuff, you know. And many of them claiming that they were molested by different agents or, you know, different people within the industry attached to those huge studios and companies and everything else. And, you know, it's some pretty bad, pretty evil stuff, about as evil as you can get.
100%. I mean, a whole history of this stuff with Disney being connected to all this darkness. I've always had a problem with people, adults who do child's entertainment. I'm just being honest with you. We've seen over and over again these adult men in particular who are like, I'm going to be Mall Santa. And then they're like all diddling people. We've seen where like...
It's not funny, but you just really...
Mall Santa.
You know, jeez. I mean, just like over and over again, we've seen like these guys... Look at the guy Nickelodeon right now who just got... outed Schrader, is his name? Dan Schrader.
I mean, dude, who was it? Elmo, the guy who did that voice of Elmo a few years ago. It's like, it's a little bit of, again, a little bit of everywhere.
And what happened to that guy? What happened to that dude? Like, did he ever go to jail?
He took his freaking Elmo money, bought an island, and probably, you know, did some Lolita Island, or what, the Lolita Express, and probably bought an island and shipped some kids in. Like, who knows?
Which is, you know, a big thing we see with this stuff. I mean, if you take a look at the L.A. Sheriff badge, I mean, it has the pedo symbol right in it, man. And nobody thinks. They're like, oh, it's just happening. I'm like, I mean, it's funny.
Let me ask you guys. Do you guys, have you heard about pandas being symbols for pedo stuff?
Stop. I got a panda tattooed on me. What are you talking about?
No. So I've heard through the music and through, I've heard the panda is now the new symbol, one of the new symbols.
Oh, fuck.
And I know
that,
there's like,
dude,
a song from Designer. I think his name is some rapper. You can't understand what the fuck he's saying. No. It's all about the panda. Panda.
Nope. I won't let him take it. 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 The panda,
get a cover up
the panda is black, white, and knows kung fu, and it fights racism, okay? That's what it does. It's not a pedo symbol. I
was just hearing, I might have heard. I'm definitely not.
You might want to get it all colored in and turned into a grizzly.
Yeah, right. That's true. I might have to become the black bear. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
So, I mean, and we continue this. I mean, look at all the huge arrests that just happened at Disney and Legoland. I mean, yeah. Like... Huge. And like, let's be honest, who has been the channel that more than any other channel that has gone after Trump? Disney. I mean, look at ABC. Look at Jimmy Kimmel. And I love Jimmy Kimmel because my friend works there. I'd hate for anything to happen to his thing. But there's been a real, I mean, who put, like, just think about this. Stormy Daniels, who has a connection to the NXIVM cult, she was a guest on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. A porn star who's done gangbang videos was on a talk show on ABC. I mean, like, something.
She's one of the three. She's one of the three new leaders of the Democratic Party, man.
It's unbelievable to me. It's
how people still consider themselves progressives, and you know, that far left leaning in terms of, look. Again, whatever you do with other adults, consenting adults, I don't care. But there's so much disturbing material, so many bad things going on, and just the pure Marxist mentality, along with the evil stuff that they're doing to children and everything else, that how have people not just completely flooded away from that mentality and left them on an island?
Well, I mean, it's like I saw this female comic put out, you know, this tweet, and I had to unfollow her, even though I think she's a wonderful person. It's about, like, we need to replace all politicians with women. And I'm like, I wanted to list all the women that have done horrible stuff as politicians. And what they do is they just exclude it. They disengage. I mean, that could be on every side. I mean, like when we had the Praying Medic on here, who has a wonderful Q Anonymous website, you know, when I brought up George Bush and Cheney, he reluctantly admitted that they were shady and up to no good, like, because they have an R by their name. He was very reluctant. I think we get into these identity politics, and it's literally identity politics, not just race, right, or gender, where we pick a side based on an R and a D, you know, and you see like this push for diversity in politics. And I'm really totally down with that. Like, I want the best, whoever the best is, to get the job. But the notion that if someone's a woman or a gay or an ethnic, that they're going to walk more purely into politics is laughable, because the only thing that matters is green, and that is money at the end of the day. And money corrupts everybody. I don't care what your gender is or your sexual orientation or your racial or religious group. Money rules everything.
And the best of the people that go there with the best of intentions get compromised.
And the
and
truth.
Suddenly they're voting against their constituents, and you can't figure out why, where things went off the rails, and you can bet your ass they've been compromised.
And the truth of the matter is, it's like the person you believe these people to be, you believe them to be this loving philanthropist who does charity work and helps the poor and the sick. That person doesn't run for politics. That person works on the actual streets with the people who need the help. You know, they actually are helping the poor, helping the homeless, helping the sick. you know, helping the vets coming back from wars, bankers' wars with PTSDs, trying to pass laws, you know, to get them to be able to do, like, you know, psychedelics, maybe microdose to help them deal with these kind of, you know, war damage done to their brains. You know, those people don't actually run for office. They want
to
help.
They're the ones who vote to send them to war, in fact.
Yeah, right? The opposite of those people go there for power and greed and all that other stuff. And that's really the truth, man. It's kind of crazy. So, you know, what we've seen, you know, and you guys had Sawman on your show, and, you know, you guys were really excited about a lot of stuff he said. And he went to Tucson. Let's get into that. He went to Tucson and he investigated that camp. And what I really do believe happened is that the people in the truth community are so desperate, and I mean this in a loving way, so desperate for the mainstream media to cover this whole thing that we see it's going on when we connect the dots of Pedogate. We see what's going on, that we were so desperate to push out what they found that could it have blown up in our faces a little bit. And not that Sawman is a bad person or an evil person.
Well, Sawman was the one that exposed Tucson as being false, actually. The control, VOP, were the ones that thought it was a child sex trafficking camp. And so Sawman went, they started investigating, and I talked to another gentleman who's a police officer out there, and you know, the veterans on patrol have done some very questionable stuff, like thrown guys up on billboards with rifles and all kinds of crazy stuff and gone out of control. And the guy that runs that thing, you know, has a questionable past. He is a veteran, and I think he means well, but I think there's something going wrong potentially with that guy. I'm not going to claim 100% either way, but a lot of people have disproved it and said, look, this is a homeless camp. There's a lot of homeless camps. You know, homeless people have sex too. There's rubbers there. You know, there's this, that, whatever. So, you know, it is what it is. But Sawman has the best of intelligence. He's got some very high-level people attached to his crew. And you know, so he was one of those who went there, inspected everything, and said that, you know, this is a nothing burger.
Okay, so Sawman is different than the group that found this stuff. It wasn't Sawman.
Sawman's totally different. Yeah, Sawman's totally different. And there's a lot of police officers that are actually pretty upset by what some of this Veterans on Patrol group has been doing. It's Veterans on Patrol, I think, you know, mean well, but they're so desperate to get out something. And when I started seeing their posts and the guys on the water tower and all that sort of stuff, I took a step back. I did. And I went, you know, this is you're pushing the envelope with this sort of stuff when you're saying I'm up on the water tower with a rifle and you're not going to get me down. That's getting a little crazy. Now, granted, you know, the company associated with that camp, the concrete company,
CEMEX,
you know, they are being investigated by the feds. I know there's a lot going on with that. And,
can you tell us
I'm not
a little
comment one way or another. I don't need a lawsuit against me.
Okay.
And everything that we're saying, obviously, is you know, conjecture and ideas being passed back and forth. You know, we're not making any concrete claims, but.
So we can't get into that whole company.
That's what confirmed a lot of this. I'm sorry.
We can't get into anything about that company and what they're doing, or is that too dangerous of a topic to talk about right now?
Well, not necessarily. It's for me, I want to wait until the investigation starts breaking open, you know, until they start releasing some stuff, a little more evidence on what's been going on, and you know, to make any claims. If Jeff wants to go there, you know, he's more.
No, I mean, I think that's what helps spurn a lot of whoever's, like, you know, thinking something was going on there, because I read that CEMEX company had some ties to the Clinton Foundation. And I think from there, it just, like, you know, wow, it has to be child trafficking if the Clintons are involved. So we tend to, you know, kind of jump to conclusions. But, you know, in my opinion, I'm still on the fence, man. You know, the mayor of that city is the mayor of that city. And
his name is Rothschild.
And there were trees with bondage stuff on it. I mean, there's... He's absolutely right. Craig definitely has Craig Summitsaur has definitely the most intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know. Could be also trying to avoid a lawsuit.
It's very interesting that the homeless of Tucson are into 50 Shades of Grey sex, but yet still use condoms. It's very interesting that the only people who seem to be using condoms are the homeless at this point. Everybody seems to be pregnant. It's just very interesting. They're kinky, but they play safe, which is interesting for homeless people. Even though you're homeless in Tucson, where it's 1,000 degrees, like why wouldn't you just get out of fucking Tucson and go to San Diego where it's warmer? But anyways, so does this whole thing, and we'll get into Anthony Bourdain and the Duchess who are no longer unfortunately with us. Does all this fall into this QAnonymous thing? Is QAnonymous, is this reinforce the drops of Q? Jeffrey, are you still suspicious of Q?
I don't know. I honestly have not been hearing any of his recent updates to know if this coincided with it at all. The last time I heard something about Q, he was saying the Pope was going to have a bad week. And then 30 Chilean or Argentinian bishops resigned. Right? That was the last thing I really heard. I haven't heard any newer information, so I can't really say. But I mean, to say that, again, look at the timing of all of this, the storm, these arrests, these hangings, these indictments. We would just be, of course, they're going to do what they can to cover it up and obfuscate it, make it seem like a depression or whatever. That's my humble opinion. But in fact, bodies are and will continue to hit the floor as this storm and the ramifications of all of this continue to expand. But as far as Anthony Bourdain, I think that is so, so very unfortunate. I was a huge, huge fan of him and his show. And you know what I immediately did? I immediately went to his Twitter account just to see what he was talking about the last few days. And in the last few weeks, he was roasting Harvey Weinstein, roasting Hillary Clinton in the beginning of May, saying, Hillary, I'm not a huge HRC fan. I'm being basically harassed by her operatives, and it's not fun. And then his gal, Asia Ortega or something like that, Pat got his phone on, Asia Argento, says, just roasts Harvey Weinstein, says he raped me at this Cannes Film Festival speech. And then, weeks later, this happens. I mean, the timing is very, very suspicious. Yeah. I wasn't there, and I don't know, but all of this, to me, just it's all leaning towards the same stuff, man.
And might the freakouts happen in California and the Hollywood elites, have anything to do with the United States Attorney Office in Central California has had over 3,000 sealed indictments filed ever since the end of October, right after it talks about the Manafort indictment. Manafort indictment had nothing to do with Trump and everything to do with John Podesta and Huma Abedin.
Yes. And nobody talks about that.
Schiff's district.
And the same thing is with Carter Page. It goes back to other stuff that is before the Trump administration. And then, I'm not sitting here to talk good or bad about Trump. I've stated my opinion. I think he's a half moon president. He's had a white hat and a black hat. And there's some things that he's doing that I think is good. And people go, Trump's not a good guy. I'm like, compared to you, me, Ryan, and you guys, maybe, yeah, Trump's not a good guy. Compared to the people in which the playing field in which he's playing to, it's another day at the office, dude. It's like, this stuff going after child sex trafficking, going, fighting tariffs that a lot of people are getting angry about. That these he's going to tariff all these people. It's bad for business. But do you have a problem with they're tariffing us? And you just watch
people understand strategy. Trump put those tariffs out there to make them come to the table and say, and Trump said in an interview just yesterday, I don't want tariffs. I don't want government subsidies for any of this stuff. I don't want unfair trade. We need to take tariffs off completely, no tariffs, and let people trade and let companies do their thing. Let people make things. Let's put people to work. Give people jobs. The government subsidies is unfair. Take it all away. He's a free market guy, man. And without free market, it's my good friend Andrew Wilkow said, in a true free trade environment, the only people not wearing shoes are by choice.
Yeah. I totally agree with that, man. So
and the Marxists who understand nothing about an economy and how free trade lifts everyone up, you know, are losing their minds. And they'll lose their minds over anything because, one, they don't understand what the hell they're talking about. But, two, they're just told to hate Trump.
Yes. And you see it happen all the time. And it's just like
everywhere. That astounds me, quite frankly. Just the hatred of this man completely transcends any of this conversation. I had to tell my mom the other day, I'm like, I'm sorry that your boy Obama, who you voted for twice, played you and you just don't realize it because he did the smooth Mac Daddy bullshit on you, where it's easy to hate Trump. He's a heel. I get it. But if you only knew the scores of body this man has helped, you know, stack up, and the other kind of shit we're talking about with the children. I mean, it's insane to me that they don't even, you know, like you said about people who come in here who aren't quite Building 7 ready, they're not, honestly. It's almost like, you know, in Star Wars, we don't want to start teaching kids the Force too late in life, you know, and in the Matrix, we don't want to open people's minds too late because it fucks them up. People are just really, really locked into some, brainwashing, conditioning. That's all I can really call it, because it's, to me, this shit is not a puzzle. It's not a puzzle at all, and I guess maybe, I don't know. It's frustrating, dude, because...
And I'd like to go to specifics in terms of Bourdain, you know. I saw a New York Times tweet that went out and said, you know, that there was some suspicious stuff around Bourdain's death. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, if they're willing to put something out like that, was it actually a suicide? You know, I mean, we have heard from several Hollywood stars, and several of them have put tweets out about, you know, the Mossad links to Weinstein, him using Mossad, former Israeli special forces, to have people killed and silenced. And it's not that hard or that far of a stretch to think that a small French village where Bourdain is staying suddenly gets infiltrated by a couple high-level special forces guys, former special forces guys, and stretch his neck for him. You know, it's possible. It's certainly possible with all the Hollywood stars, several of them that have gone out on a limb and said that Weinstein uses Mossad to go after people, that Bourdain did not kill himself.
Just to add on to that, this has been a few years, but this was caught on hotel surveillance tape. I think he was either a Hamas or a Hezbollah leader in a hotel, and I forget where exactly he was, and they show this 3-4-man team basically go into – they show the Hamas guy go into his hotel, and then these four guys come in, and then the four guys leave, and this Hamas dude winds up dying, you know, they say he hung himself, but the tape shows that these guys pretty much took him out. And this
really?
I'm sorry?
Really? That really happened? That's on Absolutely. Video? Oh, my God.
You can Google that. YouTube that. Hamas leader, Hezbollah leader, killed by, you know, Israeli special forces. I think – I don't know where the hotel was. Maybe Dubai or something like that. But it happens all of the freaking time. And if you know anything – I'm not an expert. Covert ops, black ops, wet works. This is par for the course.
Look, man.
Look,
the Mossad people are the best at that type of work, obviously. I'm sure we've got some very skilled people. I've certainly worked with a few of them in terms of just training in the caveman arts that I know. But, you know, the book Black or the terrorist group Black September that was responsible for, I believe that was their name, that were responsible for killing the Israeli athletes at the Munich Olympics in 1972. You know, the Israeli government made a public statement and said every single member of that terrorist organization will remain. You can go to any corner of the earth and we're going to find you and you will be dead. And that organization no longer exists. It didn't take them long. They whacked everyone. They found them in Thailand. They found them all over Asia, in Africa, wherever they had to go. Mossad hunted them down and killed them for what they had done to the Israeli athletes. So they're very capable of taking out a cook.
So and one statement we made in our conversation with Eva Bartlett in this book called Mossad, this top Israeli spy by the name of Eli Cohen was so dope, gentlemen, he became the Syrian Minister of Defense. An Israeli spy became the Syrian Minister of Defense, and they found him out and killed him and all this stuff. So,
oh, really?
The Mossad are bad motherfuckers, dude.
Wow. Wow. I can't
believe
that's
for building 7.
That's building 6 and up. That's how deep that shit is. Holy cow, man. You guys, now let me just play devil's advocate real quick, just because I already know what we're going to hear about Bourdain. What about his, any truth to his girlfriend was cheating on him? Any truth to that? She was caught cheating, and at that age, maybe he's heartbroken. We've seen this stuff before. You know, any thoughts on that?
Like, again, I checked his timeline of his Twitter. they had been hanging out in France shooting an episode, I believe, shooting an episode of his show. In the picture, I did see she was supposedly spotted with this dude in Rome recently. And I just, again, I'm not in the relationship, so I don't know if there was that separation for that to happen. But is that possible? Absolutely. Absolutely, that's possible. When you look at everything else in context, to me, that just seems kind of like, you know, giving a plausible reason why he might have done it, as opposed to his girlfriend roasted Weinstein in front of millions of, that video's gone viral. He's been roasting Weinstein. He's been talking about Hillary's goons. Like, the connection is pretty easy to make.
Why take out Bourdain? Why not take out
a warning?
The chick? Why not take out Rose McGowan? If this is really what
taking out the woman that made the speech at Cannes Film Festival, I think is too obvious. Taking out Bourdain isn't as obvious.
And Rose is obvious. If you take out Ashley Judd, it's just obvious. And I think knowing, like I said, he was his girl. Oh, she was his girl, dude. He loved that. They've been together for a very long time. And you know, and yeah, I'm not going to speak on that. But yeah, they've known each other for a very long time. And it's just, you know. Is it possible, bro? Of course it's possible. He could have been heartbroken, all that. But again, on Instagram, he's like, this is the happiest I've ever been. If you follow some of his stuff, like, the dude was living life. He was a freaking jujitsu addict. He was a blue belt in jujitsu and just love rolling. I mean, the dude was living his life. I just don't see, you know, again, depression. Everyone knows they could be one way one day, and then I get it. But I just don't think this is how this played out.
Interesting, for sure. We live in interesting times, man. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on. Who knows? I'm dying to see. Now, Pat, are you still a Q guy? Are you still in the Q?
Look, I do follow some of the Q stuff, obviously. I pay attention to it. He's been right. He's been prophetic on many, many occasions that I've paid attention to. So they have talked about, you know, fake Q accounts being started, and, you know, that whole, you know, misinformation campaign by the, look, intelligence communities have plenty of money to work with to get people in, to do things that we're not capable of doing. We don't have the intelligence in terms of the funding, the, you know, the ability with computers, you know, all the other stuff, the surveillance. So, you know, anything's possible, but Q has been right many, many, many times. And so I'm certainly not discounting any of Q's material.
Have you heard?
Just a closing statement on that. I think the timeline, when I said this to you, Sam, they don't blow their wad quite yet. The storm and all that is absolutely real. And I think a lot more is going to be coming up towards the end of summer, moving into fall, moving into these midterm elections. So look out for what they call those October surprises. I think we're going to see a lot more of those. And unfortunately, we're going to see
false flags,
and we're going to see some more bodies dropping.
Let me ask you something. Today was supposed to be a big day. You saw it in all the tweets, you know, June 11th. Has anything happened to make you think there was a big date push June 11th. June 11th, a hammer's going to drop June 11th. The shitstorm.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was paying attention to that, Sam. And I mean, you know, right now, one of the biggest meetings in world history, you know, between North Korea, South Korea, our president, you know, I mean, that was big stuff. But I would say that, you know, we have to wait and see kind of what happens. There's been sometimes a few days or a week before big things happen. The timeline has been off a little bit. But I've paid attention to Q since the very beginning. And Q was talking about Weinstein going down. Q was talking about a lot of people going down. And a lot of people have gone down, man.
I agree.
It's, you know, this is just the start. You know, still Weinstein is a huge name. I mean, that's a giant fish, and he's going down. He's going to prison for life, most likely. And there's going to be a lot more huge names. And I think that this whole process is a slow conditioning of the American mind to be able to absorb and deal with what's really going to be coming.
I also think I get nervous when they put dates on this, because I think when you put a date on something, it ends up changing the narrative. Mm-hmm. And when you go, this is going to happen on this day, forces that watch this can work to know something's coming and make sure it doesn't happen. Well, gentlemen, they are from the Conspiracy Farm. I appreciate you guys coming on the show. Anytime we could powwow with you guys and your amazing podcast, we love it to death. I appreciate you guys being our friends. And we will talk.
And we got to get that thing set up in Chicago when you guys are going to do your stand-up show there. We need to go to the Gentleman's Cooperative, who makes the greatest suits in the world, and we need to do a podcast live there.
Let's do it.
A live studio audience, and I'm telling you, dude, it will be off the hook. That is a beautiful company, a beautiful penthouse in Chicago, downtown Chicago. You will love that place.
Well, hey, dude, I'm down. We're just waiting for Live Nation has asked us to hold off on booking dates until they can figure something out. Once we get all that going, we'll know when we're going to be in, and I'm totally down with doing anything you guys want in Chicago. That'd be a lot of fun. It'd be an honor to sit down.
Well, Chicago, Chi-Town, give us a quick shout-out. Is that something you guys would be interested in? And let's test and see if it's something people might even, you know. I'm assuming they dig it.
All the fans need to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, guys, just start hitting us up and just know the plan is to come and spread the word and bring the Conspiracy Farm, Higher Side Chats, the guys from
the Grimerica,
Grimerica guys.
Seriously, guys.
Get all of us. Also, what's his face? Who's the guy that did the Flat Earth tour? Dan Cummings podcast.
Time suck.
Get us all under one roof and just bring the communities together. You guys have been great. We love you two very much. Thanks again, Pat, Jeffrey, for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll do it again soon. We'll make sure Eddie's here. Guys, thanks for tuning in to Tinfoil Hat. 5-star reviews. Check it out. Check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/Tinfoil Hat. We got an amazing episode about to come on with Jessa Reed. It blew my mind last night. We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
Later, guys. Pat just farted.